I suppose every sermon has some sort of call to action associated with it. I think you'll figure out this lesson pretty quickly. I entitled it, Who Are You Feeding? Who are you feeding? You know, this time of year we have a lot of information on radio and TV and various places about those who are in need. And when we look at the Bible, God has always been concerned about the needy. During Christ's personal ministry, He was very concerned about those who were in need, those who were less fortunate. In Luke chapter 14, in the text we had in our morning class, Jesus addresses this issue in verses 12 through 14. Luke chapter 14. Just a little refresher, the context is Jesus was invited by a ruler of the Pharisees to his home for a meal. And so he's eating bread in this ruler's house. And so after observing the attitude, the actions of some of the Pharisees, he uses this occasion to teach a lesson about hospitality. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. Then he, referring to Christ, also said to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." This isn't new teaching. As I mentioned, all the way back at the very beginning of time, God has always been very concerned about those people who are in need. The poor, the fatherless, the widows. Several lessons that we get from the law of Moses is about taking care of other people. In Leviticus 19, we see some lessons, some principles given to us or given to them about taking care of the poor. In Leviticus 19, beginning in verse 9, this is what we read. "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God." Part of the harvest was to be left for the poor and the stranger, those people who would not have very much. So don't go in to every tiny little corner and get every piece of grain or whatever it is you were harvesting. Leave some of it. Leave some of it for them to come in and get. In Leviticus 25, just a few chapters on over, we see how the poor are to be treated fairly and rightly and justly. Leviticus chapter 25, beginning in verse 39. Leviticus 25, verse 39 and following. "And if one of your brethren who dwells by you becomes poor and sells himself to you, you shall not compel him to serve as a slave. As a hired servant and a sojourner, he shall be with you and shall serve you until the year of Jubilee. And then he shall depart from you, he and his children with him, and shall return to his own family. He shall return to the possession of his fathers, for they are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves. You shall not rule over him with rigor or severity, but you shall fear your God." These people became poor for whatever reason, doesn't say, but they became that way. They ended up in poverty for some reason. And they were to be treated fairly and justly. So just because they ended up in poverty, they were not to be treated as slaves. They were to be shown some dignity because of their situation. We move on to Deuteronomy 14, where he talks about the fatherless and the widows. Deuteronomy 14. And let's read verses 28 and 29. Deuteronomy 14, verses 28 and 29. He says, "At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates, may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do." This was something they were to do in a way to take care of the fatherless and the widows and those people like that. Every third year, they were to take a tithe of whatever it is they were producing and store it up. And that tithe, that portion, was to be for those people like the fatherless and the widows. They were not to be left out in the cold, so to speak. So there's always been concern on God's part for those people who are needy, who are less fortunate, who are poor. We go over a few more chapters to Deuteronomy chapter 24. We find this beginning in verse 10. Deuteronomy 24, verse 10 and following says, "When you lend your brother anything, you shall not go into his house to get his pledge. You shall stand outside, and the man to whom you lend shall bring the pledge out to you. If the man is poor, you shall not keep his pledge overnight. You shall, in any case, return the pledge to him again when the sun goes down, that he may sleep in his own garment and bless you, and it shall be righteousness to you before the Lord your God. You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren or one of the aliens who is in your land within your gates. Each day you shall give him his wages and not let the sun go down on it, for he is poor and has set his heart on it, lest he cry out against you to the Lord and it be sin to you." Now it seems like he's kind of up the ante, so to speak, because now he says, if you don't do that, if he cries out to you because you've not treated him well, says it's sin against you. It's sin against you. This person that he's talking about here, for whatever reason, lives day by day. Lives day by day. He has enough for today, and that's it. Doesn't have enough for tomorrow, doesn't have enough for next week, has enough for today. So that's why they're told, don't go take what he has for today because that's all he has. Don't go taking it, all right? You need to treat him with respect. You need to treat him with kindness. You need to be concerned about him. If you've ever had a chance to go serve at one of the soup kitchens in Joplin or some of these different places, you see how destitute these people are. We've done that. The three of us did that with student council for a few years when we were doing that at East Newton. We'd go up and serve about this time of year, and you would see them come in, and that was pretty much all they had. What you saw them bring in to that soup kitchen was it. That was the sum total of their existence. We don't know how they got that way, but we knew that's the way they were now. And so they needed to be helped. The Bible says God remembers the needy. In Psalms 9, verse 18, the psalmist says this. Psalms 9, verse 18, says, "For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever." God remembers the needy. He remembers them. And then we skip over to chapter 12 of Psalms. Verse 5 says, "For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns." See, he listens to the sigh of the poor, the needy, the less fortunate. And the Bible even goes to pretty great lengths to condemn God's people for not treating the needy and the poor like they should be. In Isaiah chapter 10, Isaiah, by inspiration, tells the people this. Isaiah chapter 10, the first two verses. Isaiah chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Says, "Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune which they've prescribed." And this is why they're doing it. "To rob the needy of justice, and to take what is right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless." Notice all four categories are talked about there. The needy, the poor, the widows, and the fatherless. All of those. God has always been concerned about those groups of people. About whether they were treated right, they were taken care of, and so on. So God has always shown concern about those who are in need. Again, whether they were widows or orphans or those in poverty or whomever. And if we're to be like God, then we need to show concern for them as well. So in our text that we read, Jesus is here teaching hospitality. He's teaching hospitality. Hospitality comes, it's a compound word in the original language, and it essentially means someone who loves strangers. In other words, people they don't know. People they don't know. And so Jesus, in those three verses that we talked about, he says, when you give a dinner or supper, don't ask your friends, brothers, relatives, rich neighbors. Why? Because it's very likely they're going to return the favor. In a minute we'll talk about there's nothing wrong with doing that. But the point he's stressing is you need to show more concern for other people. In other words, people you don't know who are in need. Like he says, the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Those people will not be able to pay you back. He says, that's the difference. That's the difference. They can't pay you back. There's no way they can pay you back. So he says, when you give a dinner or a supper, it's assumed here that God's people are going to be doing this. So he even starts with the assumption that God's people will be involved in giving dinners and suppers. Now, obviously it's not just teaching about feeding other people. It's the whole idea of helping other people. For some, it may be feeding, but for others, it could be a variety of things. So when we think about giving a supper, we need to expand our thinking to include doing whatever those people need. But he says there's a danger involved if you just are concerned about your friends and relatives and rich neighbors. He says there's a danger involved in that. So it's dangerous to just do that. So what's he teaching? Well, those people can repay you. Your friends, they can repay you. Your relatives, they can repay you. Rich neighbors, they can repay you. But if you go to the extent of helping those who are poor, they can't repay you. The blind, they're not capable of repaying you, the lame, and so forth. Then it shows that your attitude is that I'm not concerned about being repaid. So he says that's the point. These people can't repay you. They're not capable of repaying you. So when you're concerned about those people, when you love strangers and are helping strangers, it says you're showing the right kind of attitude when you're helping those people, because those people can't repay you. So it's about motives. It's about motives. It's about attitudes. Why are you giving the dinners for your friends, relatives, and rich neighbors? Pride, prestige, honor. And again, there's nothing wrong, and Jesus is not teaching that there's something wrong with having get-togethers for family and friends. That's not what he's teaching at all. He is teaching, don't let that be the only time you ever do anything for somebody. That's what he's teaching. It's great to do that, but don't let that be your extent.
Make sure you go beyond that, because there's a lot of people who are in need, helping those who are less fortunate. The Bible says there are going to be concerns on Judgment Day about those things. Jesus had a great big long lesson about Judgment Day that he taught in Matthew 25. And one of those things that he taught about was about what we would call hospitality. So let's go back to Matthew 25 for a moment. Matthew 25. And I think it's no coincidence that he's been talking. He gave the parable of the talents about the person, the different ones who had different abilities and resources and talents and opportunities. Some used them, some didn't. Then he says in verse 31 of the 25th chapter of Matthew, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. This is Judgment Day. This is Judgment Day. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but goats on the left. So there's a picture of Judgment Day. There's a picture of two groups. They're exclusive groups. And there's only two groups. And as we read this, we'll see that those two groups are divided by what they did while they were in this world. In other words, what do they do with their talents? What do they do with their resources? What do they do with their opportunities? What do they do with their time? How did they use it? Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So he says, this is why the sheep are the sheep and not the goats. He says, why are you the sheep? Because I was hungry and you gave me food. That's why you're in the sheep category. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. There's that word, that stranger again. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. He says, that is indicative, that describes the sheep. Now that he's not teaching that that's what saved them. That's not his point at all. He's simply describing the characteristics of the two groups of people. Not how they got there, what saved them, but qualities and characteristics of the people. The sheep did that. So the righteous will answer him, verse 37, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? See, they're saying, you know, we didn't do those things to you. You weren't in prison and we didn't come to you personally. So Jesus comes back. Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. He says that's the description. So the sheep, to be a sheep, are those people who are concerned about people in prison or people who are hungry or people who are thirsty or people who need to be taken in or need to be clothed, who are sick. And, of course, that list could be extended for a long ways. That's not an all-inclusive list. There are other things that would fit in the list. His point is that when you did anything good, when you helped or served in any of these ways, Jesus says, you were doing that to me. You were doing that to me, and that's his point. When you go to the very end of the lesson, he describes the sheep and the goats, and he says in verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, the goats, but the righteous into eternal life. Well, what did the goats do? They did nothing. That was the point. The goats didn't do anything. The goats were only concerned about themselves. They didn't help anybody. They weren't concerned about anybody in any situation at any time. They were just concerned about themselves. And again, he's not teaching that those works save them at all. He's simply teaching that that's a general description of the sheep and the goats. The sheep are people who are concerned about other people, and the goats are not concerned about other people. And as a result, don't do anything. The poor, in this life, you're basically not going to ever be rewarded by the poor. They're not going to come back and give you money or do anything like that. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible says that the poor are always going to be with us. In other words, there's always going to be poor. There's always going to be needy. There's always going to be orphans. There's always going to be widows. There's always going to be people in those categories. Always. Until the end of time, there's always going to be people in those categories. Jesus said that. Places in the Old Testament teach that. They're always going to be there. And both what we read in the Old Testament and what we've read here teach us that we will be blessed on Judgment Day for how we spend our time on earth. Was it just for us, or we were concerned about other people? In Galatians chapter 2, Paul and Barnabas have been meeting with some of the Christians, and in Galatians chapter 2, we have this left for us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 10, says this: they, talking about James, Peter, and John, they desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. This is when they met with the pillars of the church. And they were told, remember the poor. Remember the poor. In Romans chapter 12, we have a description of Christians and what they're to be involved in. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. When we're behaving like a Christian, one of the things we're doing, just one of the things, this isn't the sum total of what a Christian life is, but verse 13 says, distributing to the needs of the saints and given to hospitality, or pursuing hospitality. There again the word is lover of strangers. Lover of strangers. This is what should characterize Christians. Helping other people. And again, that can be done in so many different ways. And of course, just like Jesus taught, the attitude in which we do it is critical. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 says this: be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Be concerned about other people, do help other people, serve other people, but do so without grumbling about it. Helping and receiving strangers is like, as we already talked about, helping and receiving Christ. In Hebrews chapter 13, very end of that book, the writer tells us in verse 2 of the 13th chapter, he says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Entertaining strangers, being hospitable, loving strangers, same thing. It says, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. There's always going to be countless opportunities to help. And no, we can't help everybody every day. Absolutely impossible. Can't go serve in a soup kitchen every day. Can't go feed people every day. We can't go and visit people in prison every day. We can't do all those things every day. He doesn't tell us we need to do them every day. But there's always going to be opportunities. Jesus' lesson is simply that there's going to be opportunities, and the one who follows Christ, the godly man, is going to be concerned about the poor, the needy, the fatherless, the widows, and he's going to do what he can. See, what you can do is different than what I can do, which is different than what the person next to you can do. But that's a good thing, not a bad thing. We can all do different
things. You know, our actions can take lots of different forms, so many different types of forms. But of course, the reason we act is because that person is needing help in some way. We should always remember the poor. Not just this time of year, but throughout the year. Because they're always there. There's always people in need. There's always people less fortunate. There's always people that we can help. And we can do it in a number of ways. So Jesus says, when you give a supper, when you put on a meal, when you invite someone, don't invite for the wrong reasons. Don't invite for the wrong reasons. Yeah, invite for the right reasons. Do it with pure motives. Do it because you're concerned about other people and you want to help other people. But never do it with the idea of, well, they can repay me. He says that's the wrong attitude, is doing things to be repaid. Now, the lesson is yours this morning. It's very straightforward and to the point. There's always going to be people that are in need. There's always going to be people we can help. So we just need to do what we can. This morning, as we sing our invitation song, if there's a need on anybody's part to respond to that invitation, we want you to do that as we